This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, a weekly podcast where we ponder and proclaim the Sunday Mass readings. Habebos Papem, we have a Pope, Pope Leo XIV, as many people's eyes were glued either on a TV screen or on their phones. I was actually on retreat with the staff at Our Lady of Peace Retreat and St. Clair's Retreat. These are two retreat houses on the West Coast operated by the Franciscan Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of Sorrows. So that morning we were finishing our retreat with breakfast and a final conference and prayer. And at 9 o'clock, as we were finishing up breakfast and still conversing amongst our community, the monk, we had five monks with us leading us on the retreat. He had been looking on his phone, looking up a particular prayer to St. Therese, and he said, "White smoke." And all of a sudden, we turned on the EWTN broadcast, and all of us, the religious sisters, the monks, all of us laity, were glued to see who our Holy Father would be. And it is Pope Leo XIV. I'm not going to talk about him today, but I am going to say, continue to pray. Number one, pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis, our Holy Father, who served us for 12 years as the shepherd to the church. And now let's pray for Pope Leo XIV. I will include on this media podcast, I've got a whole series of prayers, and a few of them will be prayers for the Pope. So I hope you join me in prayer. What a beautiful time. And as we look at this fourth Sunday of Easter, look, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday, we remember Good Shepherd Sunday. And it could have been that we wouldn't have had a shepherd over this weekend. And look how providence comes together. And we have our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, on Good Shepherd Sunday. And so a little bit of my theme, in fact, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, you'll see behind me, this is the shepherd's field. And this is where Jesus was born. This is where the shepherds would go and raise their sheep and lead them in Bethlehem. And so I'm just excited to share with you this shepherd's field, and we get that theme in our readings today. So let's begin in prayer and just call your heart, your mind, your soul to listen to the scriptures and listen to the prayers of the church. This prayer, this collect prayer, Pope Leo XIV will pray on Good Shepherd Sunday, as will all of our priests around the globe. They will pray this prayer in their language, in their parishes, in their cathedrals, in their missions, this prayer for the fourth Sunday of Easter. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch and Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshipers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy to eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth." The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence, who were worshipers, and the leading men of the city, stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Know that the Lord is God. He has made us. His we are. His people, the flock he tends. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of the great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in the temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun or heat strike them. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's Good Shepherd Sunday, and can you hear the message of the shepherd and the sheep, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world? "Behold, the Lamb of God," said John the Baptist, "who takes away the sins of the world." This is the Lamb who will be the Passover Lamb, the sacrifice, will shed the blood of true life, of new life. He will be the royal Lamb. He will be the King. He will care for his kingdom, for all of the sheep. Such beautiful messages that we sense in these scriptures on the Good Shepherd Sunday, this fourth Sunday in Easter. Again, traditionally in the church, of course, every day we should be one praying for our priests, praying for our Holy Father, praying for the bishops who lead us, praying for vocations. You know, if we wonder, how am I going to get more priests? I was listening to a lady the other day and she was talking about our pastor. He just needs to do more. We need another priest to help him. Well, we need to pray for those vocations because those vocations come from holy families. And so we need to pray for women to be called into religious life, for men to be called into religious life, into the priesthood, and to call for holy families that will raise. I think about a Saint Zelie and Louis Martin who raised these children. They lost four of them. Early deaths, four of their children were lost early in death as young children. But then they had the five women who became nuns, Saint Therese of Lisieux, the holy child of Jesus. She is one of the most familiar and famous saints of the modern time. We pray for the intercession of Saint Therese for our holy priests and for the holy priesthood to continue to grow, for all vocations to thrive. It depends upon us and our prayers each and every day. Let's go to the Acts of the Apostles. As I look at this theme of the shepherd's field, and I wanted to just read the whole, I'm not going to read it to you, but I want you, when you have a moment, I always kind of laugh, either Bishop Barron, which I like to listen to often on his homilies, or our pastor will say, you know, go home and read, you know, this chapter that we just got in the Sunday readings. And, you know, I wonder how many people actually go home and read that chapter. But I would say, go home and read Acts 13, or open it up on your phone and read the whole chapter of Acts 13, because I read this and it's beautiful because it covers this beginning of Paul and Barnabas on their mission and as they're traveling. And so we hear that the early church, they're coming together, they're praying about where to be led to go and to preach and to teach the good news. And so set apart, led by the Holy Spirit, you know, listening to the commentary, I wasn't listening to any secular commentary, but even the religious commentary of the election of the Holy Father, you know, this is not the work of man. This isn't like what I think. And so here the early church is giving us the example. We're following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We do not think as God thinks. And so I just, for us to think that we know God's plan, oh my, the Holy Spirit is trying to guide us towards God's plan. And so the Holy Spirit sets apart Paul and Barnabas to go and do the work. And so they go and they travel and they are proclaiming the good news. And Paul, if you read this from chapter 13, verses like 16 to 35 or so, he is covering like the history of the church. He's talking about the 40 years of wandering in the desert, of the early Israelites being led to freedom, and all of the different from the judges to the kings to Benjamin to David to John the Baptist. He's in a short nutshell giving the listeners of the day, you know, how has God spoken to his people over hundreds of years, and now today it's in the person of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, who you crucified. And he's giving them a sense of the reality of God's presence among them. And now here we are with our Savior, with our Messiah, with the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so in the reading that we get, it's just a little part of chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas are speaking, and it says, many Jews and worshipers who were converts to Judaism, now they're coming to the fullness of the faith as they hear preached Christ crucified, risen from the dead. And they're starting to come to believe, and they're coming to hear the words of Paul and Barnabas. And the words of Paul and Barnabas are urging them to remain faithful to God, right? They're proclaiming the good news. They're being a shepherd, a herald of the good news. And what happens to some of the leaders of the church? They are filled with jealousy, the scripture says. And so what do they do with that jealousy? Do they try to listen? Well, what are these guys talking about? They're taking away our leadership. Or was the leadership yours to begin with? God is the leader. God is the shepherd, the king. But they follow that sin of jealousy, that temptation. We all can be maybe jealous and look around and go, oh, that person's more popular. Oh, that person has certain things that I don't have. But what do we do with that? Do we admire and say, wow, what a great blessing they have? Or what they did is they followed the jealousy with abuse and contradiction. And now they're starting to put lies and deceit. They're bringing more people. They're taking these women of prominence and turning them against the truth. They're leading other people to sin. What scandal that is. So we really have to be careful of where do we go with those temptations? Do we go further into leading others into sin? That's what these early Jews did, is they went down the wrong path to more darkness and deceit. And here is Paul saying that all who were destined for eternal life came to believe. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit as they saw there was a division. There was a division. There's a division today. And yet we hear in the gospel, and we're going to get to it in a moment, where God shares with us that he knows and he will care for all who are destined for his heart. But real briefly, in the book of Revelation, I just think the imagery is beautiful. We hear about the Lamb, and we hear about those who are praising the Lamb with white robes, purity, holiness, virtue. And they have palm branches, right? They're praising, they're worshiping. We're designed to worship and praise the Lord, the Lamb of God. We're called to be purified. That's why we go to confession, to cleanse us of our sins. That's why we turn away from sin. And we grasp onto the virtues, prayer, the holy life, fasting, prayer, the sacramental life, service, giving, offering, living, caring for, humility, the white robes. You know, think about at the Easter Vigil, if you were able to witness a baptism or many baptisms, you know, a baptism of an infant, what do? They clothe that person, that infant, in a white robe. Maybe it's a white covering. You're baptized into death with Christ to new life. You're given a candle, a baptismal candle. We light that candle from the Easter candle. We take that light and we hand it to the newly confirmed. You have been lit with Christ. And here we see that God is on his throne. And those that are there are worshiping him day and night. This is heaven, day and night, perpetual worshiping of the Lord, the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne, in the center of the Holy Family, is Jesus Christ. We need Mary, the heart of the family, the heart of the Holy Family. The blood of Mary feeds the sacred heart of Jesus, the center of our homes, the center of our vocations, the center of our life. And then Joseph is the leader of the Holy Family. He's the father of the Holy Family. Joseph was able to admire and worship the Lord in his home, but he was also called to care for his wife, Mary, the mother of the church, the mother of hope, the mother of mercy. Do you have the Holy Family in your home? Have you invited the Holy Family into your home? And here we have the Lamb, the center of the throne. He will shepherd them. He will care for the sheep. And how is he going to care for them? With life-giving water. Again, that is initiated in baptism. That's that initial sacrament that brings us into the family, that brings us into the fold. We're all wandering sheep. And that water, that life-giving water of baptism, initiates us into the fold. And God will wipe away every tear, every sorrow. He will bind up our wounds. Alleluia, alleluia. It says the Alleluia gospel acclamation is, I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep, and mine know me. One of the really short phrases that I came away from in this retreat I just attended, there was so much there, but this little phrase from actually Peter Kraft in one of his books that the monks brought out to our attention in speaking about prayer and speaking about focusing on how to pray. Three words. If you just remember these three words, if you're wondering, how am I going to pray? How do I listen to the Father? How do I listen to the Good Shepherd? Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Now, I remember hearing those words, and maybe in a more secular instance, stop, look, and listen. If you hear a siren, stop, look, and listen. If you're driving, stop, look, and listen. Riding a bike, stop, look, and listen. Stop what you're doing. Stop what's happening in the world. Stop and pause for time of prayer. Look. Look for the Lord. Look for Christ in your presence. Look, be in the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Stop, look, put yourself in the church, in the adoration chapel, in your corner of prayer. Look at that image of Christ, the image of the Holy Family. Look at that crucifix. Close your eyes and see in the silence the presence of the Lord. He is there. Listen. Listen to him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the voice of your Father? It's so cute. I've talked about this before. We have this path that we walk along this dike, and now many of the ducks and the geese that live around our area have their little babies. And there's this little cheep, cheep, cheep that the little babies cheep, this little voice that comes from them, and then the mama duck will have this certain sound. Now, probably to you and me, it all sounds the same, but you know, there's little ducklings from one family and little ducklings over there, but somehow they know the voice of their mother and not the other mother. And they know to go away from that one, but go to this one. God's design is so amazing. And yet, how do we know the Father's voice? It's not audible. For most of us in our entire life, we're not going to hear like you're hearing my voice right now. We hear it in calmness. We hear it in the silence. We hear it in a certain way we feel that's peaceful, that's prayerful, that doesn't lead us to jealousy and violent abuse, like the church leaders we heard of in the first reading from the Acts. No, there's beauty, calming, forgiveness, mercy, peacefulness, gentleness, kindness. It comes from knowing the Lord. How do we get to know him? In the scriptures. You know, I think one of the best ways, holding up this Magnificat book, we have to hear the word of God. He gives us his word in Jesus Christ himself. And so having a relationship with Jesus Christ, having a sacramental relationship, that means receiving him in the Holy Eucharist, receiving his forgiveness in confession, having that daily prayer life. But we need to start with the scriptures. We need to go to the catechism to know, well, what does this mean for me? How do I live this out in daily life? What's the truth and the teachings of the church? We have the papacy. We have the true fullness of the faith in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic from St. Peter to St. Pope Peter to Pope Leo the 14th, our 267th Pope, continues on the legacy of God, Jesus Christ in his church. The Father and I are one, says Jesus. If we want to know the Father, we need to know the Son, Jesus, in the Holy Family. Bring the Holy Family into your life. Live in the Holy Family. The Holy Family is a reflection of, obviously, of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So receive the gifts of grace that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Father, the Sacred Heart wants to give you today as you reflect in the Word of God, as you call out your cry. I think about the little lambs that are lost in the fold. Jesus will hear your voice. You need to be listening to the voice of God. Not to the voice of the world, not to the voice of man who's trying to interpret things on their own wisdom. We look to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the wisdom, the gifts of grace that come from the church through prayer, through listening, through the lives of the saints and the wisdom of the saints as they reflect a life living in God in Christ. Pray for your shepherds. Think about the pastor at your church. That pastor is the shepherd over every single person, actually living and deceased, all of the souls in that particular area. For us, it's about a 60-mile radius from Castle Rock, Washington, north down to Kalama, Washington, and over to Kathlamet, Washington. There's, 50, 60,000 people living, and then all the souls who have lived before for the eternal repose of those souls, Catholic or non-Catholic, pagan or Christian or Jew or Muslim. Our pastor is the pastor of every single person. The bishop or the archbishop for us of Seattle is the shepherd for all of the people who live within this area of Western Washington, USA. But then the Pope, Pope Leo the 14th, is now the shepherd of every single person on the planet. Yes, he's the Pope for the Catholic Church, but he's responsible for every single soul. Your neighbor, your family member who isn't going to church, your coworker who's never been baptized, the Pope is their Pope and is responsible for their soul, to pray for their soul, to do what they can do in the office that they've been given to guide that soul where? To eternal life, to eternal life. That's the role of the shepherd, to bring the sheep home, to bind up their wounds. That one's been injured. That one was almost caught by a coyote or a wolf. We need to bind that wound. Let's bring them back into the fold, into safety, leading them into the church, leading into sacramental life, anointing them with holy oils, bringing them in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. Get a sunburn. Get that sunburn from the light of Christ. My Father, who has given them to me, says Jesus, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. Jesus says, the Father and I are one. Thanks be to God. Pray for your shepherds. Pray for your priests. Pray for the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. Pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis today. Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you care for your flock across every desert and through every dark place. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, seek out and restore those who have lost their way, that we may all come together into the glory of the kingdom of your risen Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.